stuff.
You, me too.
And the owner just
said, guys, welcome back to Speaking Millennial. I'm Bill Spadia here with Jessica Nutt and Jay Black. And I'm going to say bigger than regional comic. Jay.
Oh, yeah.
The great Vic DiPetetto.
Oh, yeah. Wow, this thank guy, you.
Much bigger. That?
Pleasure right? to be here.
Yeah, now, can you hear us? Yeah, we probably should have done a mic check first.
Yeah, mine's
no, you guys
not,
sound good.
Awesome.
I don't know if so my mic's
So, Vic, bread
work.
And milk.
Yes.
Bread and milk.
Pretty soon. It's right around the corner.
It's coming.
The video that keeps on giving.
That video, so your career blew up after this. I mean, in a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. It opened, right? A lot of people recognize you. But before that, there's a whole other story of Vic DiPetetto that people don't know about. But that, yes, that opened the floodgates.
Is it a good story? Is it a sad story?
Good story.
It's a good story.
I'll tell you.
The working man's story, the struggle, the rejection, this, you know.
I'll tell you how big that video was. Prior to that video, Vic had to work with me on shows. And now he's able to expand out and never have to see my face again except in here. Yes. So that's how big the video was.
Just it when you thought you were out, we dragged you back in.
When he said rascals in the lobby, I couldn't believe it. That was like the best. At one time, that was the club.
That was a huge club.
The country, not just. I opened for Sam Kinison in West Orange. It was an amazing.
We worked together at the Montclair's Rascals, which I remember. You know Richie Byrne, right?
Yeah, Richie.
Richie and
guy.
I worked at a show where the air conditioning went out in the middle of July, and that was up in the attic when it was still up in the attic.
Oh, boy.
And when
it's more or less like this room.
Right. Well, that's what reminded me of that. I remember that. Without hyperbole, I can say 295 degrees in there.
Wow.
And Ed, the manager, comes over to Richie and goes, could you not mention how hot it is? Could be. And if you mention it, people will know. And Richie was like, what?
they know. And Richie could sweat in an icebox.
Yeah, oh, my God. Yeah, Richie's head is 98% sweat. So Richie was like, I'm going to mention it. And Ed was like, all right, I guess you should mention it. But it's like one of those things where it's management everywhere has the same thing, which is if you don't say it, you know it disappears.
Yeah, and look what Ed did to Rascals.
I got a text from management this morning.
About how hot it's
about
in this room?
It's so hot in here. Isn't it crazy? We wanted to bring you back to, was this Rascals?
Oh, this is Rascals.
We're bringing you back, right?
It's an Indian summer.
But they said the same thing. They're like, don't mention it.
Right.
All right.
It's like, but I have to. When you tell me not to mention it.
Exactly.
Like,
never tell a comedian what not to say.
Exactly.
That's crazy,
we do it more.
Yes.
We're like infants.
It's part of it's what's funny about it is it's why you hire a comedian. You hire a comedian to say things that people don't normally say. That's the that's the interest level that people have in comics. And then management wants to control you and you want to go like, you know, listen, it can't be both. It has to be one or the other. Either I'm interesting or I'm not.
You're paying me for a service. Let me do my service.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know? How did the crowd react when he mentioned how hot it was? They're like, oh. Yeah. Now that you mentioned it.
Yeah, they were like, you know what? I was cold right up until you mentioned that the air conditioning
broke.
How
about when they're fanning themselves?
Oh, that's the worst.
I'd rather get heckled than see a guy fan themselves in front of me.
It makes you feel like, am I doing my show in the antebellum South?
That is the worst.
I'm getting the vapors. Like, just lay down. You'll be all right, lady. Don't worry about it.
Vic, back to the, I have a question. Did you write the bread and milk bit, or did that just come out?
I opened a door, I saw a snowflake, and it just came to me. I whipped out the camera, boom. 26 seconds from my house to the car.
Now he's selling out the Borgata.
It's crazy.
This guy.
It's
well
insane.
Deserved. Because, you know, it's one of those things where they go, oh, overnight success.
Yeah.
No. Okay.
You know, overnight this success is in 20 years.
Yeah. Where were these people when I was driving a garbage truck?
Exactly.
Driving a truck to Dangerfields. Where were these people when I was going back and forth to the Borgata doing shows 7 nights on the school bus in Staten Island? Where were these people? We live in a country where if you're successful, they knock you instead of embracing it.
Right.
That's why they are where they are.
But the thing about it is that the people who are enjoying your show now, they get the benefit of all that time.
Yes.
Because you're not one of those guys, you're not an internet star who's 22.
Exactly.
Who, you know, Patton Oswalt has a great thing where he tells people, don't put your stuff on the internet because even if you get popular, you've only been doing stand-up 2 or 3 years.
Exactly.
You're not going to have the chops when they come out to actually see you and you're going to fizzle out. And I think that the beauty of seeing your success is seeing a guy who's spent 30 years putting together a killer act. And then when you get the success and people come out to see you, they're not seeing a kid going
you.
I really don't know what to do. They're seeing a 30-year vet who knows how to crush a room, and that's
Thank
what's
you.
Awesome about
well,
your
Rodney
success.
Rodney didn't make it till his mid-50s.
Exactly.
He's my inspiration.
Yeah.
If I would have got it too soon, who knows? Maybe I would have been an idiot. Maybe I would have been a, you know,
well,
got
for
divorced.
Sure. For sure you would have been an idiot.
There's
that's
a
the whole
reason
point.
Why it's taken this long, you know?
George Clooney has a great line. He goes, the second you get famous, you stop maturing. So if you get famous at 22, you're 22 you're forever. If you get famous at 50, that's a pretty good age to get famous at, because you're not going to go out of your mind.
You know, I put my kids to college. I'm married 34 years to the same woman. I'm happily married. I'm humble.
34 years.
34 years. My son is 30. My daughter's 24.
Wow.
You know, now I'm enjoying the fruits of my labor.
That's right.
And some people, they just don't get it.
Well, they're idiots.
It's just the day I eliminated negative people from my life, I started going up the ladder.
Well, could you elaborate on that a little bit? Like, where are you getting knocked? Who's knocking you? What's going on?
You know, all over. Comments on the social media. A jury of my peers, I might say.
But comedians?
Yeah.
Oh, they're such douches. Comedians are such douches.
Well, that's why their careers go nowhere. Because instead of pointing fingers, worry about your own career.
Yeah.
Do they wait until you make it? Because just like going to these open mic nights, the guys are all so supportive of one another.
Exactly.
Is that because they haven't made it yet?
Right. Exactly.
That's it. They make it, they hate you.
Yes. Why?
Right. Because they're like, hey, I'm funnier than you.
Once one of the fish gets out of the water... They're like snakes in a pit, and they want you to fall in.
Right.
You know, it's just amazing. It's sad, actually.
What about social media, though? I love to retweet and like the haters.
Yes.
So people say crazy stuff.
Well, I used to
argue. And
I'm
like, oh, retweet. And then sometimes they'll tweet back at you saying, no, you don't understand.
Right.
I'm angry at you. I don't like you. I'm like, retweet.
I used to do that. Now I block and delete. It's less stressful.
Yeah.
I can't do it anymore. It's like talking sauce and gravy with Italians.
Nah.
You're not going to win.
Well, you know, it's...
you know, you're right about... You know, it's
you
one of my big...
You're not going to win.
Jessica, right? That's a huge issue of mine.
Oh, my God.
I've had many, many battles over sauce and gravy.
I'm telling you.
It's gravy.
No, well,
All right, let's forge ahead.
It's an easy distinction.
Rather talk politics.
I combined it. I call it sauvy.
It's
Sauvy. I like
there you
it.
Go.
I think he was in the room during the Donald Trump meeting. Sauvy.
See how he tries. He tries to get to the politics.
But no,
I don't take the bait though, Vic.
I'll say this. I think it's an easy distinction. If the sauce is cooked with the meat, it's gravy. If it's cooked without the meat, it's sauce. It's an easy.
Exactly.
How do people not get
exactly?
This? It's gravy if the meat flavors it. That's how you know.
It's all about the casual reference. So how do I refer to it? Like, if you're not thinking about it, do you want spaghetti and gravy?
No.
Or spaghetti and sauce?
I want spaghetti and sauce.
Spaghetti and sauce. Spaghetti
a lot
and
of people say gravy is brown and goes on meatloaf.
Right.
I know.
And turkey. Yeah.
It's flavored by the meat. It's gravy.
I love meatloaf.
That's a bolognese sauce.
Oh, that's bolognese
sauce. Oh, I love that too.
Oh, my God.
Let's stop the podcast and just eat.
Can we
please eat gravy with bolognese?
Some red wine and some bread.
Let me get on Grubhub.
But you know,
let's order something. That's a good idea.
I think one of the big problems with comics is a greater problem in the world is this idea that they think success is a zero sum game. That if you have success, it means it's taking away from my success. Without understanding that, you know, we're not playing a game with defense. We're playing golf.
There's a piece of the pie for everybody.
Exactly, and you know, to use a phrase, a rising tide lifts all ships. So you know, if you're doing well, all it means is that people are more interested in comedy, and that's going to trickle down to everybody.
Exactly.
It makes no sense to me. I have a long story involving Jim Norton. I won't get into it, but he was very, very nice to me early in my career.
Jim was always nice to me.
And he didn't have to be that nice to me. He was nice to me in a way that was above and beyond.
How long? You should tell it.
Well, it's essentially this. I went in to do a guest spot for Vinny at the Stress Factory when I was a little baby comedian. And I go up in front of his crowd. Jim is doing three nights, Friday, Saturday, Sunday on Memorial Day weekend. And I go up and I kill. And I walk off stage because I was worried Jim's audience wouldn't like me. I only had like 20 minutes anyway. And I'm sitting in the green room waiting for Vinny to say something. And Vinny turns and goes, oh, right, that was tonight. I didn't see you. Sorry, I'll get you next time. And Jim goes, that's bullshit, Vinny. That's bullshit. Jay, you were great. I saw you. I'll put you on the second show.
Good.
I'll make sure Vinny watches you. It gets better.
Yes.
In between the first and second set, the MC, Jim was recording an album, and the MC that he brought had to press record, forgot to press record, and was fired. So then the next day,
on the spot,
well, while I was on stage.
There's no HR in comedy.
Yeah.
How
do you forget the press record?
That's the only job
the
he has.
He's making an album.
With you. It's a button.
He was recording.
I can see a light or a mic.
I get it.
But the press record?
So I walk off the stage after my second set, and Jim goes, Jay, you're the MC tomorrow. So
nice.
Now I've got a paid position. Now, I'm not making this up. This is going to sound like I'm making bullshit up. This is absolutely true. In between the first and second show Saturday, the feature gets a call. His dad is sick in Minnesota or whatever, and he has to leave immediately. So Vinny goes, I'll call the city and I'll get you a good comic to middle for you, Jim. Don't worry. And Jim goes, no, Jay's been doing a great job. Jay, you're middling tomorrow. So I go from Friday as a guest spot that nobody saw to featuring for Jim Norton on Sunday. So I walk in on Sunday and I go, Jim, this is the nicest thing. You're a celebrity. You didn't have to be. Why'd you do that? And he goes, you know why, Jay? Because in this business, the managers fuck you. Excuse me for the F word, everybody. But this is the. This
how
is
long
the,
did it take?
Oh, yeah. Why don't you tell me you could curse?
Yeah,
this is
curse.
This makes a world of a difference.
I should have said that. Don't we have a disclaimer? Everyone is explicit.
We should. So we'll say this. The managers F you. I don't want to use the F word too much. The managers F you. The agents F you. The crowd, the business will F you. And the worst of it is most comics will try to F you too. Don't do that. We should support one another. And if you take anything from this, it's to try to be nice to other comics. And I always try to remember that, because here's a guy who had no vested interest in being nice to me, who was well above me in station and was nice for no other reason except comics should be nice to one another. And it was a beautiful story.
Absolutely.
I don't want to ruin his rep by telling people how nice he is off the air, but he's a really good guy. And he did that for me. And I wish that more comics would do that
for each
other. I've
been nice to a lot of comics, and a lot of them turned into Tessio from The Godfather.
Godfather was a movie, Jessica?
More movies that are on my list that I have to go back and
watch. Wait, have you not seen
The Godfather?
I don't know the character you're talking about. I've watched it once.
Tessio.
Because I met
Tessio Paul Sorvino. Tessio was always smarter.
Can you let me off the hook for old time's sake?
The three of us could probably do the whole movie here.
We could do the whole movie.
We'll do it right now.
Hello, Carlo.
All right, let's see it.
Go show Call of the Tree.
I'll be Jimmy Kahn if I can at the wedding. I'd like to be
Well played.
Well played, Jay. Did you read the book? Because in the book,
was great.
They had an entire subplot about Sonny's legendarily large penis.
Yes.
And the woman that he's having sex with has like a weirdly gigantic vagina. Yes. Do you remember this?
No.
In the book,
the way they did it in the movie is his wife is sitting with the bridesmaid.
Yes, right.
And she's going like this.
Right.
And then he's upstairs with the.
But you never get the whole subplot.
Right. And the whole subplot.
The book was great.
She was talking about Fredo. You never know.
Well, she goes to Fredo's hotel and meets a vagina surgeon who fixes her vagina in the book. I'm not making any of this up. Yeah, it's in
the
book.
It was a vagina surgeon?
I wouldn't have forgotten.
I don't know. I got a fact check.
He was a plastic surgeon who said, you know, I can fix this vagina problem of yours. And I remember thinking, wisely cut from the movie. Nicely done, Francis Ford Coppola. Like, he was like, I love the book, Mario. We're going to lose the vagina surgeon part.
He should have cut part three from the trilogy.
Can we agree that's not the title of this podcast?
Vagina surgeon?
Yeah. Or is it too late?
I feel like
is
it's Vic DiPetto colon vagina surgeon.
I think so too.
Which is my TV pitch for Vic.
How about the scrotum monologues?
All right, we can go with that.
My penis has talked by itself for a long time.
The book. I haven't thought about the
speaking
book
of movies, you were in Paul Blart 2, right?
Mall Cop 2, yeah.
How did that come about? What happened?
I'm in my hotel room in Albany, you know, sitting on the edge of the bed, waiting for the show to start, wondering where the hell my career is going. Here I am, 54. The phone rings. It says caller ID unknown. Whenever I see that, I never pick it up.
Sure.
I was bored. Yeah. I picked it up. Hey, Vic. Who's this? Yeah, this is Kevin James. I'm like, really? Who is this?
Yeah.
He starts laughing. See,
when did you work together? You knew him.
Yeah, East Side Comedy Club, Long Island, 25, 30 years ago. We weren't buddies. You know, we knew of each other through the circuit. He became the king of Queens. I went on to drive a school bus. Fast forward.
Right.
He says, I saw this character you do called Tony Gaga.
Right.
It's a character. I got this guy. You got $2. I got a part in the movie. Now I'm putting two. Now I got diarrhea going down my right leg. I'm like Ralph Cramden. He sends me the script. Fast forward. I'm in Vegas 6 weeks. I'm in a movie. It's still on now. That's the Stars Channel. I'm getting a check every couple
of
months.
Beautiful.
People
that's
are recognizing
beautiful.
Me. That's how it happens. It's not who you know. It's who knows you.
That's great. That's a great way of putting it.
He called me directly. How great is that?
He's a good guy.
You said it.
Yes.
Nice guy.
Nothing regular
but good
guy.
About him.
Yeah.
And he's private, which I understand. I'm starting to see the other side of it. I understand why he's
How often do you get stopped?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm in a nice position. I don't get recognized everywhere, but I get recognized enough.
Yeah.
To say, wow, that's
still feels good, though.
Yeah, it feels great. My wife's very protective of me.
Yeah.
I'm like a big, stupid cartoon character. Oh yeah, let me shake you. She hates when people, like, if we're having dinner, you know, they come up to you. I don't mean to bother you. And then they bother you. But I don't, what are you going to, because then if I say no, 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 then that goes around. Oh, Vic DiPetello's a prick. You don't want to talk to me.
Is he Paul Blart or
that's how it happens.
Bread and milk? What do you get the most?
Bread and milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That works.
Yep.
It's a good brand.
Yeah.
Right? That's a good
comes
brand.
Comes back every winter.
Yeah.
Right? 16 million views.
Always
it's like Christmas carols. Yeah. It's amazing.
And you have that monetized on YouTube,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
So you're getting a check from them.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
You got to monetize. If you make videos, you got to monetize them because you never know what's going
to
hit.
Well, I'm up to 97 subscribers, so I think I'm ready.
You're getting there, Jay. You're getting there.
There's one right now. I talk about not parking close to other cars.
Right.
It's on the Car Throttle page, 23 million views.
Real? You've 23 million?
Really?
On just one page, the Car Throttle.
That's crazy.
And they gave me credit. Which a lot of pages don't do that. They just look at the angry. When I do ticked off Vic, I'm the angry Italian guy. You know, instead of giving my name,
vaguely racist.
Do you get paid for that?
They just call you the.
No, when it's on a page like that,
yeah,
that's different. But it's the exposure.
Exposure's good.
It's the exposure. Yeah. I do this. I get calls and messages from people all over the country, and the world. It's insane.
Can I ask? I know this is probably bringing back a bit that goes a long way, but the last time I worked together with you. And I was so jealous of you because I've always wanted to lead the audience in my favorite singer, Billy Joel. You led the entire audience in Piano Man.
Wow.
Have you done that recently?
No.
It was...
I should bring it back.
It was just
so much... Are you playing or just singing?
I got the harmonica. I play it. And matter of fact, I did it at Westbury Music Fair, Long Island.
Oh, you did? Oh, fantastic.
1,700 people. I go on my bag, and it was gone. I'm like, oh, my God. That would have been a great sing-along. You know, Billy Joel, Long Island.
Absolutely. And I just remember because, first off, I've mentioned on the podcast before, Billy Joel, my absolute favorite.
Yeah.
He's the
you
best.
Love Billy Joel.
I love him.
Billy Joel and porn are your two favorite things to talk
foreigner.
About.
If they could just get Billy Joel into pornography, it would be the apex.
You've never seen Jay. Okay.
Wait, well, what's the punchline here?
Nothing. Things I talk about on this podcast all the time. My love of pornography, my love of Billy Joel. If I could get that chocolate and peanut butter together, that would be the ultimate Reese's Pieces.
We try to get through a whole podcast without Jay's porn addiction, but it comes up.
The only thing more damaging my Billy Joel addiction.
I watched Two Bait.
Was that?
Two Bait is good.
Two Bait?
Two Bait.
Oh, Two Bait. Oh, yeah. That's a porn site. Yes. It's... I mean,
so now we're giving advice.
Oh,
is that it? It's, Jessica, sorry.
Yeah. Jessica, we only watch for...
You watch Two Bait. I love Two Bait.
Yeah. That's
it's research.
Everyone, yes. It's research to please our wives better.
Exactly.
I say, honey, this isn't for me. It's for you.
You got to keep it flowing.
I got to keep
it's
fresh.
For the prostate. You don't get cancer that way.
It's exactly right. If you don't...
Where were you going with Billy Joel before we got derailed?
I was so jealous that Vic thought of that. Because I always, my dream is to lead an audience in a sing-along of my favorite singer, Billy Joel. But I can't do it because Vic did it first. But I saw him lead
it
a whole...
You can do it. That's
the highest form
of
flattery.
That's
the highest form
of
flattery.
Yeah, but do you play an instrument?
Like, no, I don't.
You're just going to sing?
I would just sing.
Oh, you need the harmonica for that song.
I might need the
harmonica.
Maybe
I could go on stage. I'll do the harmonica.
We work together.
We'll be like the Smothers Brothers.
Very nice. I want to be Tommy. Just so long as I can be Tommy.
I want to be Tommy.
I called it first. I'm sorry.
Smothers Brothers. That's old school.
I just,
huh?
Yeah. I read the book.
There is
you
a
don't know how to play harmonica?
No.
Was it?
You don't know how to play a harmonica?
No,
I feel like you would. You could juggle. You can.
I ride a unicycle.
Do these other nerdy things.
Yeah, there's lots of I can juggle like crazy. You haven't seen me juggle?
I don't think I've seen you juggle.
I'm a fantastic juggler.
Yeah, I would put harmonica in the list of like juggling and magic tricks.
I would agree. Yeah. What do you want to juggle? I think you should juggle right now.
Yeah. And that's always been my dream. I always wanted to juggle in front of a full crowd.
Oh, there you go.
I can tell you something. Having learned
some stuff.
I can juggle on the top 1% level. I'm a very good juggler. Not stage juggling enough, but so in my youth, I used to think this would be a good way to get women
excited. What do you do, the bowling pins?
I can do the bowling pins. I can do knives. I can do torches. I can do all that.
You ever see Bob Nelson's bit?
Wet nap,
juggles
hand wipe.
The kerchiefs?
Yes, yes.
Genius.
Oh,
Listerine.
So good.
He's like a modern day Red Skelton.
We've got some things for you to juggle.
Any hand lotion? Is someone living in this room?
I think so. We got wet naps.
This is going to be tough, but
mouthwash,
I can do it. Here we go. I'm going to do it.
And hand cream.
Bring all this different weight.
Right?
Bring it up. It's all different weight.
People can't see.
Would you mind? All right, here we go. Here we go. So now, we don't know who owns this.
Want to talk Charlie McGee?
Nobody
is right.
Can see. We could be lying to the crowd.
Well, we're going to record this and then post it on the website.
You want to talk old school? This is like Charlie McCarthy doing ventriloquism on the radio.
I don't know. Charlie McCarthy.
Wow. How old are you?
No, yeah. I don't think he can do it with all the
Have you seen him juggle? I have not seen him juggle.
Here we go. I want to say
Jessica is concerned about the weight differential.
This is a very different thing. And we have moving liquid in here, which makes it even tougher. But let's see if I can do it.
Look at this guy.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, what? How about that, Vic?
Very good.
Hey, we treated you to a show, Vic.
Yeah.
You know what?
Bravo.
Thank you.
We should have Facebook Live that. That was pretty good.
I'm going to tell you what. I did that.
You guys are a man of many
because
talents.
Because of everything that I did in my youth was to get women. And in my head, I was juggling,
does that work?
Here's what every woman, every time I was on a date, I found an excuse to like, let's go to the hardware section. Look at this. Three things of different weights. I'll juggle. 5 years in my basement learning how to get that good for this reaction every time from every woman.
Huh.
Oh, yeah, look at that. That's it.
That's exactly what I just did. Do it in home goods. Yeah. Then they'll love you.
Well, here's the thing. Every year, my son will, like, you know how he can have, like, a reward, a clash reward? So he always puts in the Mr. Black show because I come in, I do magic, I do animal balloons, and I juggle. Kids love it. I look up, all the moms are like, aw. And it's like I wished on the monkey's paw. It's like I want women to like this.
But
it's 20 years later.
You're
and
out.
with no chance of me having any fun with it. So that's what happens.
And your wife doesn't care.
Oh, she cares. She makes fun
of
me.
Negative? Yeah, of course.
Every time I do it, she'll go, what do you do? Look at you.
Can you do four things?
I can do four.
Three was impressive.
I could do four, but it's easier for me to do four of the same thing. Because what you're doing with four...
I feel like next time I'll bring in like four lacrosse balls.
Four lacrosse balls.
Do you have them in your car?
We have a whole... I don't have them in my car, but I'm sure we have a case at home somewhere.
I can do it.
Why lacrosse balls? I'm just curious.
My kid plays lacrosse, so he practices.
What is this? It's almost like a tennis ball?
It's a little bigger.
Oh.
It's rubber. It's a little weightier.
It's a little douchier for some reason.
I forgot. This is the anti-lacrosse crowd. I forgot. Where am I?
I just said, Bill and I have a little argument. Not his son, obviously. But I said, if you're going to judge based on sport who the biggest douchebag is going to be, I generally go lacrosse player first.
And Jessica did not hesitate last time.
To agree. And I played lacrosse, so I know.
Wow, that's firsthand. But women lacrosse players, very different.
No, they have that kilt, and that kilt goes a long way.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what.
Is that the one with the net on the stick?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah, that one.
I just like baseball and football.
Yeah. I want to see somewhere like an ad for lacrosse where it's like Vic DiVitetto says, is that the one with the stick in the net?
The stick in the net.
Lacrosse.
I thought it's a clothing line with the alligator.
Yeah, there you go. Lacrosse. Nicely done. I'll take an alligator-based shirt pun any day of the week. I love it.
I'm happy to talk about one of our sponsors. Great sponsor, good friend, Vinny Brand, owns the Stress Factory in New Brunswick. The website is stressfactory.com. Vinny Brand runs one of the great comedy clubs, honestly, in the country. Not only does he have A-list comics coming in almost every single week, but the show is great. The food is fantastic. The staff, the service, there's parking right next door. If you've not discovered the Stress Factory in New Brunswick, you've got to get there. Go to stressfactory.com and buy your tickets. It's a great night out, reasonable cost, absolutely hilarious entertainment, great food and hospitality. Stressfactory.com.
I want to talk about another one of our sponsors. I'm getting pointed at by Bill Spadia, so I'm confused here. Steve Califer, he's the guy who owns Flemington Car and Truck, and he also owns the Somerset Patriots, where you could see Bill Spadia throw out a first pitch, ceremonial first pitch. This is a place, if you are looking for a car or a truck of any sort, you'd be a dummy not to go to Flemington Car and Truck. And you want to know how big a deal this guy is? His website is just Flemington.com. That the entire state of New Jersey.
That's a big deal.
That's a huge deal. Flemington.com is where you want to go to check out all the great prices on Jeeps, on Cadillacs, I think the only two thoughts I had were Jeep and Cadillac.
But there's
so many different cars. There's Audi, there's Buicks, there's GMC, BMWs, there's Fords. This is the car, when you're driving along and you see Bill Spadia driving in a red Jeep and you go, oh, is Bill going through a midlife crisis? You know where he got that midlife crisis car at? Flemington Car and Truck. That's where he got it. So go check that out, Flemington.com. And if you're in the Flemington area, you got to go check out Flemington Car and Truck because Steve Califer, friend to the podcast, friend to humanity, friend to the person buying a car, Flemington Car and Truck.
I do just want to add a congratulations to the Somerset Patriots for making it all the way to the league, not to the championship, but they got to the playoffs.
Nice.
And I threw out a couple first pitches. It's going to be a great season next year.
How'd it go?
I was going to avoid that. Let's put it this way. Sparky Lyle, the Yankee great, who was the first relief pitcher to win a Cy Young, he said, well, look at the bright side. If it was 0-2, I would have told you to throw it that low because he would have swung at it. So I got a swinging third strike. It was my worst first pitch that I have ever thrown.
If Gary Delabate's a 0 and George Bush after 9/11 is a 10, you are...
That particular pitch was a 5.
That's not too bad.
Well, it got over the plate, but I hit the dirt. I don't think I've ever hit the dirt.
I can guarantee you I would have hit someone off the first base line if I was throwing the opening pitch.
It was bad. But the Somerset Patriots are great. The TD Bank Ballpark, great.
And we just gave Steve Califer a 9-minute plug. So there you go, Steve.
We love Steve.
Thanks for being our sponsor, guy. Thank you. I stopped it dead. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
I'm just happy. I'm not talking about porn anymore.
That is the first time that's ever happened.
Like, oh, finally.
We may have to edit that out. We're all thinking about it.
We were looking for a place to put in commercial breaks. We found one.
It was a moment of silence. That's all.
We have a moment of silence. I like that. Is that how we're going to do the commercials? I don't think that's a good idea.
I think for this one, we do it that way. We should next time plan it.
There's no break, though.
Well, we have to put in some cricket sounds.
Yeah, I actually have one from my last set that I recorded I can bring in. So I have some very on-the-spot recorded cricket noises.
Will this drop, this podcast, on or around November 9th?
No, I think this one's dropping
Wednesday.
Philly. This is our closest to recording. This will be out in 2 days.
You're going to be in Philly?
Wow, we're almost behind.
I'm
headlining the Punchline.
Nice.
In Philly.
Great town.
I will tomorrow.
Absolutely. And Bill's going to be my opener there.
Beautiful.
Bill's doing stand-up, and we're going to sell that place out.
We're going to sell it out.
That's the goal.
It's a big place, though. I've not been there even to see a show.
What's it hold?
320.
Nice.
Yeah.
So enough for a show?
I think between radio and some TV pushing I'm going to do, we're going to be okay.
It's a big area, though, isn't it? It's like
a Friday, Saturday?
It's a Thursday.
Okay. Thursday.
Yeah. Celebrities do the Friday, Saturday. I do the Thursday. Someone has to.
They're testing you. That's what they do.
They're testing me out.
Let's see what he could do on a Thursday.
Yeah. If I can sell out on a Thursday, then I'm sure I'll get the call to do a Friday, Saturday. Love it. Well, I started in Philly. I started the Northeast Cabaret. Andy Scarpatti's room.
Wow.
Yeah. And I started the February after 9/11. That's how I remember it. Because 9/11 to me is, what a narcissist am I? Oh, it's that thing that happened 7 months before I started doing comedy.
Wow.
That's what 9/11 is. But Vinny Nardiello and I started at the Northeast Cabaret in 2002.
Wow.
Did you tell the 9/11 story on the air or on the podcast?
Oh, on the air.
I've heard the
9/11 story?
What's the 9/11
story? I mean, I feel like I kind of get it.
Jay personalizes everything. It's really all about what happens to him.
So he looks back fondly on 9/11?
Not fondly. You had some awkward moments.
So my wife was homesick. She was a teacher at the time.
She was not your wife at the time.
She was my girlfriend.
This was on 9/11.
No, on 9/11. I was in school, and I had off right around 10 o'clock. And I went to Wawa, and I got a hot chocolate for her, and they wouldn't put whipped cream on the hot chocolate, so I bought a container of whipped cream so that she could put it on and it would stay cold. That's how you could tell we were dating, because we were doing nice things for each other. That's, you know, nowadays, I would call her up and go, hey, while you're at Wawa getting your own hot chocolate, could you pick me up a sandwich?
Yeah. Right.
But so I go to the Wawa, and I'm listening to Howard Stern talk about everything that's going on, and the sort of seriousness of it all is hitting me. And I get to her house, and I as we're watching, you know, all the bad stuff happen, I take out the whipped cream, and it falls. Like, you know, I'm holding it by the top, so like the thing falls maybe about a quarter of an inch, but it hits the table in the exact right spot, her coffee table, and it starts to do like. And the whole coffee table shatters.
A paper cup?
No, it was the whipped cream.
Was
it a metal whip?
It
was a ready whip, yeah. Well, I was going to give her whipped cream, and I was going to do whip it so I could go back to school high.
I just watched a video where if you hit glass like on the corners, it breaks it.
That's what happened.
Yeah.
This was like a gigantic
iPod. You did not do it on purpose, though.
Wow.
No, I didn't do it on purpose. And the glass shatters. And my wife goes, you know, my brother just cut himself on glass that was improperly disposed of. So make sure you dispose of that properly. I don't know what that meant. So I just, and I had to get back to school, and all this stuff was going on 9/11. I wasn't thinking straight. So I was like, I just threw all the glass shards into my trunk. And for like 2 months, I was riding around with gigantic glass shards in my trunk. And I kept thinking, if I get really pulled over, people are going to be like, why do you have gigantic glass shards in your trunk? And I'll have to be like, well, whipped cream on 9/11.
Obviously.
Like, I'm talking in code. I'm going right to jail. But I finally just took it to the dump and threw it away, and you know.
Oh, I know how this story came up, because your father-in-law loves to call the radio station in the morning show, and he said that wasn't the first thing you broke. I think you toppled their Christmas tree.
I knocked over
one
the Christmas
year.
Tree that
wow.
same year. Yeah,
yeah, regular home this wrecker. Guy.
Yeah, yeah. I really,
oh boy,
I am a home wrecker. But yeah, it's I'm terrible. I knock stuff over, and my wife's mother put police tape. The next time I came over on all of her valuables.
What?
As a big,
see, I think that's
as
funny.
A joke. I thought that was
as
very
a joke,
funny. Yeah,
okay.
That's good, right?
Yeah, no, that's funny.
Yeah, I thought it was hilarious. But that's, I'm, listen.
Vic's like, you're digesting that. Vic's like, I've heard many 9/11 stories.
Interesting.
I'm a klutz, except while juggling.
I was going to say.
I watched the whole thing on TV that morning, because yeah. I lived in Staten Island. We saw the black smoke come over.
It was amazing.
And that was for days.
Yeah. And it's amazing that it's been 16 years.
And it's amazing that they didn't rebuild the Twin Towers and make it a floor higher.
Yeah.
Instead of that building.
What do you think? You don't like the...
I'm not crazy about it.
I'm with you.
Inside is pretty cool. You take the elevator and it shows the whole history.
Should have built them back, though.
Should
have built them back. I felt the same way.
With a big middle finger on one of them.
I would have built it with the 1976 King Kong on top, given the middle
remember
finger.
Remember that in the Empire State Building?
Well, like no, the 76 was he climbed the World Trade Center, remember?
That's
that was
right.
with
Jeff Bridges.
Jeff Bridges, and I want to say
Faye Dunaway.
Faye Dunaway. Yeah. She was my mother, my sister, my mother, my sister. She was my mother and my sister. Chinatown, Faye Dunaway. Sorry.
Sorry, Goodfellas, Raging
More
Bull,
sponsors.
And Godfather.
Yeah, he was also Chinatown. Remember, she was
Jack Nicholson.
The big reveal. Spoiler alert: she was okay. Nobody knows. Okay,
I think the well, I may, but the millennial side of this, no.
Oh,
no.
Let me pick a more.
What's the exact age for a millennial?
We've had this battle, and there's a dispute. What did we decide
Vic,
it was?
Vic,
what did
you
we
make
decide?
The cutoff. Don't worry. You make the cutoff.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, you're
my daughter's 24. My son is 30.
Yeah. They're both in. They're both in.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they're millennials.
Born in 90?
Oh, I don't know. I feel like we go over this every time, though.
I know, and I never
remember.
And then
the guests are always nervous. So it's like, Vic, you are in. You are the millennial for the day.
No, I think it's born in 1980. I think it's like between 80 and 2000. And 2000. That's what I think it is.
I think,
in 2000?
I think
every
there's a better
years.
Way to decide. It's not when you were born. It's how important is Instagram to you?
And do you take photos on film?
Yes. If you are currently thinking about your Instagram, you're a millennial. I think that's the way to... I mean,
wow.
if
where do I fall? Because I'm constantly Instagram.
Constantly
you're Twittering.
I'm constantly on social media.
Wait, hold on. Our next guest is called... Can we answer that and then tell her to hold on for the next podcast? And then,
we should probably wrap
it'll
up.
It'll be weird. It'll be for listeners. They'll hear Laura now.
Yeah.
But then time will stop.
Next week's
this
guest...
This is not the way to turn the mic.
Wait,
hello,
Laura?
Can you hear me?
So Vic, sorry about that. We got our next guest coming in.
Is it?
I can't hear her.
You should know, Vic. We're recording 727 podcasts, so we're just getting the next.
We waited. We wanted it to be nice and warm before we did that.
We're banging out the next 14 years of podcasts.
Vic, all right. So 3 weeks from this drops
Wednesday.
What's today? Today is Monday.
Today is Monday the 25th.
So what do you have coming up that we can plug? Because this will drop and get posted to the website on
this coming Wednesday. So what's going on this weekend?
What do you got coming up?
This weekend, it won't make sense.
No, it's coming Wednesday. So
this
Wednesday.
You got something. I didn't even know.
I'm receiving an award for the Italian American Entertainer of
the
Year.
That's big.
At Leonard's of Great Neck in Long Island.
On Saturday?
Friday night.
Can people come get tickets for that?
Yes.
Get tickets for where do you go?
Leonard's of Great Neck. Just call Leonard's of Great Neck.
So let's put that in the post.
I will.
Right. So we'll plug that and and Vic, by the way, that poster, that's the show you did the 23rd. That's already happened.
That's done.
Right, but Chris, my producer, why don't you just sign it 101.5, we'll hang it up, right? All right,
no problem.
Outstanding. See that?
This was awesome. Thank
this
you,
was great. Vic, great to see you.
Please, thank you.
How do this people get to you? Is it VicDiBattista.net?
Yeah.
VicDiBattista.net.
And give me your info so I could put it on my social media platform. You know, I need to know how they could hear this.
So let's tweet right now.
Yeah,
let's
do a picture.
Let's do a quick selfie.
He tweets.
I think a selfie is also another millennial thing, right? All right, let's see. Are we all right. in?
So we're turning all right. around.
Here we go. How's that? Everybody's in. Vic, you got to. There we go. Perfect.
We'll get that all tweeted right. out.
Now go find that on Twitter.
I'm going to send it to you.
You know, we're still recording. It. We should probably sign off.
Oh, I forgot. Right.
Because people are listening to us. They're like, all right, let's all get together.
What are they doing?
This is probably the deadest air we've ever had.
That was rough.
Yeah. Like that, all right. Behind the scenes.
Bill Spadia. Follow me at Bill Spadia. Follow Jessica at Chasing Jess Nut. And don't follow Jay on Twitter because he won't follow you back.
Follow me at Juggling Fool.
Jugglingfool.com. That's it. All right. The great Vic DiBattista. Gravy. Bread, milk, doesn't matter.
As long as it tastes good.
I'm hungry. There you go.
Me too.
Thanks, Vic.
Thank you, Vic.